This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along. Well, it is Easter. On Friday, we got crucified and we got resurrected on Monday in our promotion bid. We were top until Ipswich got a goal in about the 154th minute. But at the moment, it's 1-1 between Leeds and Hull. But Hull are holding, Leeds are holding on a bit, it says here on the BBC. So, yeah, welcome along. Brad, how are you?
I'm a lot better this evening, Chris, than I was, about half an hour ago, to be honest with you. But it's nice to be talking. Well, we're going to be talking at least about one win, isn't it? Feeling better. Not top of the league anymore, but please, Hull, just don't do a Southampton.
No. I mean, for one moment, I thought, Southampton were going to have a big say in the promotion battle because they're playing Ipswich today. They've got us in the middle of the running, and then they've got Leeds on the last day. But honestly, if that's how they're giving goals away, they're doing a Leicester, aren't they, really?
Well, there's another show that you can check out after this one that me and Chris did, where we reviewed all four teams in the race for the automatic promotion zones. And I said Southampton are probably the team with the biggest disadvantage because even though they had more games in hand, it's probably the worst time in the season which is typical because we've just come back off the last international break. But it's the worst time of the season to probably have a cluster of games where you're still playing Saturday, Tuesday, where everybody else is now after this period. Chris, they've got a bit of a breathing space between the games. It's not ideal. And then it's proven that way again today. Shot themselves in the foot, you know, with 2-1 up, going into the latter stages. They went down to 10 men. And then lastminute.com should be the shirt sponsors of Ipswich Town because yet again, they've struck. But at the end of the day, we knew this was the case with the bad run of form we've been in. Hopefully after today's performance, that's a turn in the right direction for us. And at the end of the day, Chris, we said this about last season as well for different reasons. We can't be relying on other teams to do us favours. If they do, we've got to take advantage of them because it will mean nothing otherwise.
Exactly, 100%. If we win all our games, we're promoted. It's as simple as that, you know.
And games are running out.
Unfortunately.
yeah. Luckily for us, games are running out. So as long as our game in hand, ironically, which is against Southampton, is a win, and like you say, Chris, we win the rest, it won't matter what the others do, because we've seen it. We saw it after the result of Norwich, the true table of everybody on the same point, even if they win all. So that's all we can do. We did our job. If others do, or in their case, don't do their job, happy days, we'll have it a bit easier and a bit of pressure off us.
It is. And actually, it is a bit of a more relaxed review. We're not going to go into it in such detail because we've got two matches, as you can see, to review there. And so we're not, you know, we would be here till kingdom come. Look, I did say that I don't know whether it was you I said it to, but there's such a thing as doing a Spursy in North London. In the Midlands, it's doing a Leicestery. I mean, to go up to away to Bristol, a team in mid-table, nothing to fight for, and we get beaten, and then we go, you know, we host Norwich. Okay, they've got a bad away record, but they're second in the form table overall on the last five games, only lost one in five, and we play them off the park. That is just so Leicester, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the things I learned over my time being a Leicester fan, and this goes all the way back to the first knockings of this first ever season, that I don't really remember, but I do remember thanks to VHS tapes. I don't remember living it, but I kind of remember reminiscing about it throughout the years. Was the most consistent thing about Leicester is they'll be inconsistent. That wasn't the case for the majority of this season. They're fairly consistent in what we were doing. But in this last batch of 15 games, the sails have been torn, haven't they, from the storm that's been brewing at Leicester. So, yeah, you couldn't have picked two better games to do a two sides of the same coin sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, this is a disaster. This looks very nice. And it's weird, isn't it, Chris? Like I say, Bristol City, one of the few handful of teams that really haven't got anything to fight for. They're too good. They're not going down, but they're not challenging for a playoff spot. No. Expected, go and lose. Norwich, three wins in a row. I don't think they conceded in them three games either. Chris, coming in here full of confidence, play them off the park, and in the end win relatively comfortable. It's just typical Leicester to do that in that style to us, mate, isn't it?
It is. And in fair play to Bristol, they won today as well. So, you know, we can't say that it was a blip. Looking at sort of the first game, unfortunately, we have got to look at that one, which was away at Bristol. We said then that was a must-win game.
Yeah, and it was one of them, Chris, that, you know, we looked at the rest of the fixtures that we had about it, and I said it was pivotal that Leicester got off to a win in that start of the run of games we've got left, and that really didn't happen. And the most worrying thing about it, Chris, afterwards wasn't the manner of the defeat, because it wasn't like it was backs against the wall. We never got going. We clearly, and we made a very good strong note of it, had some very strong chances to have changed the outcome of that game on the scoreline. But overall, I mean, you want a game, you want two games, like I said, to represent two opposite, polar opposites. We were slow. We were nervous. We were sluggish. We looked like the team that had gone there to hope to get a draw or maybe nick a goal on the counter, not play the usual Leicester aggressive way, which is still patient and sideways football, which got a moan every too often. And that was understandable to say. The pressure was really on them to get the result against Norwich. But in this game, this had the easiest opportunity for Leicester to put the pressure on teams. And, you know, okay, Leicester kind of got a bit of a favour because Leeds could only draw, a bit like what they're doing now. But this was like that moment where it finally swapped for Leicester and the pressure was really on, because it was the first time, I think, Chris, since we reached the summit that we'd actually dropped back into the automatic zones after a weekend of football. I know technically we played today, but prior to this week, we were technically outside the top two for the first time since then. And for the first time, Chris, I was worried. I was worried about Leicester, the game coming up. Well, obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I was worried about it. We even said in the pre-match, didn't we? We kind of gave a Norwich and a Leicester prediction because of our form. We were worried about it. And rightly so, because it was a really damning performance, Chris. I mean, the amount of times I wrote shaky, slow, crossing to nobody on my notepad, Chris, is worn out. It was a frustrating game, one of our most frustrating afternoons of football. So if you'd have told me what was to follow after that, I wouldn't have believed you, I must admit.
No, I was, well, like you said, before the Norwich game, we were predicting, as much of a chance of a Norwich win as a Leicester one. And just looking here, and like I say, stats are very nice when you win. They're not so nice when you lose. But, you know, looking at the stats here for this game against Bristol, you know, we had 61, is that percent possession? Let me just... Let me just make this a little bit larger. We pop the Viagra in. Here we go. 61% possession to us, 39 to Bristol. The stat that stands out to me, 3 shots on target.
Yeah, that's never good. And it's very, very difficult to win a game of football when push comes to shove, you might have all the chances, but you're only hitting the target 3 times. You know, okay, you could say, I think one of Vardy's hits the post, which is technically off target because it's not inside the frame of the goal, but it was another one that was close that you could probably add into that bracket. And it was just one of them games, and I haven't had that feeling for a while, Chris. Was one of them games that the longer it went on, the more it seemed to play out the way it was playing out, I just felt it was inevitable. We were just not going to get back into the game. The result was done. And it was frustrating because it was one of them games where, with the great respect to Bristol City, congratulations on making it another win for them. They're trying to, you know, end the season strong, which is brilliant for any team like that. You want to try and keep momentum going and then make yourself more admirable for maybe signings in the summer if you have a strong finish. But we really should have won that game. And we should really, Chris, have used it as a game where the expectancy was, like I said, the greatest respect, was for Leicester to have turned up. You know, again, if you said to me, turn up in one performance, get beat in the other, and results are vice versa, probably more expectant if we beat Bristol 3-1, you'd think, and Norwich lose 1-0. But that wasn't the case. And that's why it was so alarming, Chris, because they never looked like it at points, did they? They had 4 flashes of brilliance that fell to our top goal scorer, and even he was having an off day in front of goal. So, yeah.
I actually, as sad as it is, I was watching back. Not sad enough to watch myself back, but I was clipping, doing some clips from the Bristol City watch along, and at 75 minutes I actually made the comment, we've had 3 shots on goal in 75 minutes, we're not going to get 2 shots on goal that are going to go in the last 15. And you know, I could not see any other reason. I could not see us winning.
Yeah, it just felt like the tempo of the game, the way things were going off, silly little things as well, like wayward passes, mishit passes, overhit balls. Just nothing seemed to click fully. Clicked in parts, but it was kind of a bit Magoo at some stage or another, whether that was at the end or sometimes in the middle, and it kind of stumbled towards the front. It kind of fell into the ball at times as well, but, you know, it kind of really put the emphasis then on the Norwich game, and then that was... That I will say, if you needed a response of character from the players, they definitely delivered in the upcoming game. But that was damning at the time. And I don't think, you know, it's probably our job to try and be calmer heads as best we can, Chris, when we do shows like this and post-match. More for strikes and warnings than anything. Yeah. But it was a game that if we really wanted to, or really felt the need to, we really could have realistically had a bit of a panic show and hit the panic button, because it was a panic in defeat, Chris. There was this, there's been so much, I'm saying nonchalantness, but there's been a case of fans just going, oh, well, no, it's all right. We will win the next game. It just hasn't worked. You know, we were going to beat Hull, but we could only get a draw, which, okay, so a Leeds at the moment. But, you know what I mean? Like, I think the thing is, it just shows you how this end of the season can mess with teams' head. Because, okay, Ipswich today, they won their game, Chris. But they were run ragged for 85 minutes until the red card. They've only just scraped a win. Congratulations for them, they got the win. Leeds at the moment might go on and win the game, but they're struggling at Hull. You know, Leicester struggled against Bristol City last week. So I think we all know that we're in for a chop and change week in, week out. This could change. Yeah. God, you know, the last game of the season, Chris, could be a bloody roulette wheel on bloody change of first and second, couldn't it, at this rate, with the way Ipswich and Leicester are.
It could go one of many ways, and I think we have to accept that. I don't like the fact that the Leeds goalkeeper is wearing the same colour outfit as Mads Hermansson does. That really does worry me. I just want to divert for a minute, because if you want, I know you weren't, you were eating earlier, but for those that watched the earlier show, which was the debate show, Let's Talk Leicester, I want to just come on, and I'm going to bring this point up again, because A, it's a different show, and B, we're talking about the Bristol game. I just want to bring that up. Does Dakar deserve the abuse? Vardy in that Bristol game missed four sitters, if you like. Two of them were gilt-edged. Yeah. And I don't remember seeing him get much abuse. Dakar misses one today, gets abuse, you know, and you know, what's he doing? Why is he in the squad? You know, Vardy, we've seen games, haven't we, for Vardy, where he's had nine touches all game. He gets absolutely nothing. You know, oh, well, the players weren't passing to him. You know, Dakar had very few touches today. Oh, he's rubbish. What's he doing in the squad? Shouldn't be in there. What's he doing? Why is he being picked? It does seem, does it not, that, you know, whatever Vardy does, it doesn't matter. And yes, you know, he's had a brilliant career, and yes, he's allowed mistakes. Of course he is. He makes mistakes. He's missed penalties, etc., etc. But, you know, would have made it through to the semi-finals of the Champions League if he'd got his shooting boots on. But what gets me is that he does the same as Dakar, or Dakar does the same as him, and you know, Dakar missed one chance today, was getting abuse in the post-match. Vardy, I gave him abuse, not over because of his, you know, time with us, but on that match, as I said before to Kate, he was shit.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, you're quite right, Chris. We always say we'll praise people, players, managers when they deserve it. And when it's not, when it's been a bad performance, doesn't matter if it's, shouldn't matter. Well, it shouldn't matter. It doesn't to me anyway. It doesn't matter if it's Vardy or if it's, you know, bloody, I don't know. Yeah, Dakar. If it is Dakar, just to keep the example and reason. Because, yeah. Chris, I think Dak had a good game against Norwich. I actually think he did. I think his chance was very difficult. I don't think Vardy scored. I certainly will reiterate what I'd said. Vardy won't score it. But Chris, I mean, you're talking about a player that's obviously, I mean, he's got 16 goals this season, so he's obviously been far and away our better striker. But these players have scored goals when called upon and given a run in a time. Iheanacho, Cannon, although yet again, sticky tape for legs. He's injured, isn't he? So, but when he's had his run in the team, he got goals. Daka's, you know, nearly set up a goal today. He brilliantly brought the ball down and laid it off for Harry Winks, who had a shot just over the bar. He was involved in a build-up several times, laying the ball off either to Fatawu or trying to play it through. So he's going unnoticed in what he does. And it's because, right, we had the same problem with Iheanacho in his first couple of seasons. It's because we're expecting him to succeed like that. We're expecting him to instantly show that we... I think there's a panic around Vardy retiring that we're not quite ready to pass the torch to these players, but we're never going to know until we give them that moment, Chris, what they're really capable of doing in a strong run in this team. And to be fair to Daka against Bristol City, it was probably the first time, Chris, I'd have said, really, I even think Daka would have taken one of them chances. I mean, I've got one page here of second half notes, Chris. 51 minutes, Vardy should score, double save. Goalkeeper, I think Mads got the rebound on the second one. Right. Then I got Vardy keeps missing. Vardy's not looking confident. And then 62 minutes, I literally wrote in big letters, Chris, and I'll show it on the camera. You can't see it. Take Vardy off. And also sign a corner taker, which we actually, ironically, did go on to solve in the Norwich game, in my opinion. But yeah, he was awful. He missed two Vardy-esque chances and then two chances that we've got to, Chris, as much as we love him, he can't be wrapped in bubble wrap and not given the same for each striker. If Daka misses it, I crucify him.
Over the season, we're just complaining about him in that game. And, you know, as Derek says here, Daka didn't miss the glorious chances Vardy missed on Friday, you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wanted Daka to come off today, not because it was particularly playing badly. I don't think he was going to score. It was just one of those games. You know, he wasn't really in the game. And I just think at that point, because it was 1-1 when I was shouting for the sub, and I just thought, Vardy will come on. It will get the crowd going. It will get the crowd going if Vardy comes on. It will get the teammates coming on. He's coming on, takes the captain's armband. Yeah, and you know, and it then will worry the defence. Now, that was the reason that I wanted him to come on and come on earlier than he did. My worry with the likes of, and Daka, whether it depends, I mean, we don't know with all this FSR, PPI, whatever shit we've got going on, who we might have to sell just to survive. So, you know, we don't know who's going to be here next season. My worry is that We are falling very much into a Mahrez situation, as I like to call it, because whoever we had on that right never had a chance with the fans. Oh, he's not as good as Mahrez. Oh, Mahrez would do better than that. You know, and yes, we had some awful players. We know Diabate and Kaputska. We did have some awful ones, but nobody was ever going to be good enough for the Leicester fans compared to Mahrez. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I get that.
I think it's the same with Vardy. You know, Vardy's like, he'll always be, Vardy would have put that away. Oh, Vardy in his prime, all this. And that's the worry that, until we get a player, Leeds claiming a penalty, didn't get it. Until we get a player that's going to come in and score 15, 20 goals a season.
Yeah, sorry, you paused then as if something was happening. I thought there was something happening in the football.
I thought there was going to be something happening, but it wasn't. I think this is the problem with any you know, how many players, you know, that guy that was in the chat earlier that was just dissing Daka, it's all he posted.
Yeah, and unfortunately, any fan base has a small minority like that. They just want to hate for hate's sake and think that if they jump on the bandwagon, nobody's going to agree with them. It's funny you use Vardy and Mahrez as your examples of comparison there. Obviously, it's obvious to make them comparisons for the big name and the names they left in the club, you know, the legacy they left here with what they did and achieved. But that's a very good point as well, Chris, because both Mahrez and Vardy took a season and a half to get going. Vardy nearly walked away from football. Mahrez was still getting, you know, was Knockhart was still holding down his position when Mahrez first joined. He didn't break. It's not like he came into the team, both of them, and got 20 goals a season. They took a while to get going. Well, in football terms, anyway, season and a half isn't a bad time to get going. And look, when did we sell Mahrez, Chris? What was it, 2018, 19? It was before COVID, wasn't it? So it was before then. So what? Let's say this 17, 18 season we maybe sold him. I think it was something like that. Anyway, and now look, we're in 2024, Chris, that 2023-24 season. So that's what, 6 years on from that season, the 17-18 season? And we've only just started to really get to grips with a right winger that we think's got the potential to be up there with what we got from Mahrez and Fatawu, and he's only a loanee. Hopefully we don't succumb to having to not make that permanent, because that will crush me. I'll have to disband my faith in anything.
Would that crush you more than Inacho leaving?
Yeah, it really would. Because we've seen what we've seen. Whilst I love Iheanacho and I've seen what Iheanacho can do, he's not going to sign a new contract. He's not the future of Leicester's strike force. This kid has the potential to be a long-term future at Leicester, you know, unless he gets stars in his eyes like some of them do after a season with us. I hope not, but he seems to be so wholesome. I'd love to say he's someone we get in and start this rebuild and recline should we get into the Premier League under him. He has a very good potential, Chris. I'd be gutted if he doesn't join us. I really
100% agree. What did we do wrong in this game?
Just too passive, Chris. Too slow. There's being smart and neat and tidy, which we were at times, but it was with no progress. That's the part that really mixed. I think we let the occasion maybe get to us, the pressure get to us. I don't know, Chris, because the crowd was awful. And look, I'm not taking anything away from the Bristol City performance itself, but their crowd was awful. You literally could have muted the Leicester fans and you would have heard someone shout, "They want two sugars with the coffee" from downstairs. It was that quiet. So it wasn't like they were overawed by the crowd either. The crowd weren't intimidating or anything like that. You know how they say, like, Ellen Road, Leeds United fans can be that way, although they're probably the only timid thing they're doing is timidly shaking in their boots because they're drawing still. But you know what I mean? It wasn't like that was against them. It wasn't like, you know, with the, like you've already said, Chris, it wasn't like we were playing a team, okay, a team in form, granted, but a team that had only, like, you know, wasn't doing much in the league. Not the greatest at home either. They had a very dodgy home form. I think they lost 5 out of the last 6 at home. Mm-hmm. They were there for the taking, Chris, and we just seem scared. We just seem too fragile. And unfortunately, we had to lose that game to probably get the wake up and response we did.
Yeah.
Because night and day is what we're going to talk about when we get on to the next game. Because this game, they were just slow, Chris.
Yeah.
Static at times, to be honest. I
just want to say to Derek, we're not talking FSR. We did do in the earlier show at 7, which can still be found on the Leicester Till I Die YouTube channel. Or go and check the interview I did with Gavin McGaw, executive of the EFL, and we talk all about that. So, but to know, we're looking, it's a reviewed show tonight. But thanks for your point, Derek. Appreciate it. Do we forget? Are we expecting too much of Enzo?
I think so. I think fans had a reason to start expecting too much and getting carried away, because I don't even think the most optimistic of Leicester fans could have seen what we was on the potential of doing. I know the record's gone, right? And that was an added bonus. We've always said that'd be an added bonus if we get it. We can't get it. So well done, Reading. You proved how difficult it really is to maintain that running to get 106 points. Well, more than that to break it. So their record gets to live another day. Another season, at least, should I say. But, yeah, I think we did, because Enzo's the sort of manager, given his experience, given his age, and given his sort of experience in the game, that okay, and I know we're not talking about it tonight, but I didn't bear the question of maybe whether Leicester chose the long route on a shorter or a cheaper option. And I'm not saying he's a bad manager and we took a bad option or anything. I'm saying that he wouldn't be demanding as much as maybe trying to get a Neil Warnock in or something like that to get us straight back up. Bobby would have cost us a lot more to get them in. And he's definitely a manager that maybe, if it doesn't go well, Chris, we have to stick with him. I think we kind of have to look at one team that's managed to make a success out of a player come manager. I know Maresca is a bit older than Arteta, and I can't believe I'm making this comparison, but he's been given full control at Arsenal, hasn't he? He's been allowed to bring his youngsters in that he liked. He's been able to make the signings that he wants. He's been trusted. And I think that's what we need to do, not just as a board, but as a fan base as well. We need to trust him, because I don't want a stopgap manager that for 8 months in the Premier League, say next season, he's got us 18th, 17th, 16th, and we sack him. Mm. I want him to have the job like what Burnley are entrusting Vincent Kompany to do. You know, I'm not saying, I've never said that every player manager is an absolute dumpster truck of a manager. Rooney, Lampard and Gerrard are proving that for me, and Scott Parker, that is normally the case, but you do get a gem, Chris. You do get a footballer with a brain that's beyond playing it on the pitch. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. What I mean is some of these players, they analyse everything, Chris. They learn, they absorb things like a sponge, whereas some player managers think they can just go in there and pretend they're a captain in the dressing room and it's going to work for them, and it doesn't. I think Maresca needs that 5-6 years maybe at Leicester to really get his case aboard and what he can do.
Yeah, I was talking to Anil on the show earlier at 7, and we tried not to talk too much about the review because we were doing this show, but he sort of accused Enzo of being stubborn and not having a plan B's. Well, you know, look at Pearson. I don't think you got anybody more stubborn than Pearson. In the Great Escape year, however things were going wrong, he would not pick all Brighton because he'd had a fallout with his missus, allegedly. And as soon as he started picking all Brighton, we went on a run and stayed up. Yeah. Martin O'Neill was, you know, he had a bad start when he first came in. You know,
he didn't have the door, weren't he, Chris?
They were after him in the car park. You know what I mean? Yeah. The fans. And look what he went on. And obviously we've had a good start, but do you think Enzo's got a problem with that? I mean, for me, I'd pick that team in the morning that was today. The only thing I got wrong was Doyle for Justin. And Doyle had a decent game. I can't say that was a wrong choice.
But I'll pick Doyle.
Is it, you know, people can see that and go, yeah, we know what team they're going to play. Now, my argument back on that was, don't want to be changing it week in, week out and changing players around. That's what we did when in the Great Escape year at the start.
Yeah, we had a lot of that, and it wasn't until we got, I mean, the January window helped us out in that Great Escape, definitely did. Yeah. I don't think he's actually stubborn. I think he's just a bit naive. You know, like you said, Chris, if you take out, what was it, 9-14 games, or whatever it was at Palmer?
So
we're the first team he's had a cemented season with. Now, he couldn't do anything in January, and we're figuring out why slowed over his last 3 weeks, why that might have been nobody's fault but the board's overspendures. Well, allegedly, because we haven't been found guilty yet, but that might have been why a certain deal never happened in January. It took so long to get through.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But he was entrusted to do his job in the window. And that tells me that the board sat him down and listened to what he had to say and went to back him, Chris. And I honestly think if they could have, they would have backed him in the January transfer window.
They would have got something they could have done, yes.
Yeah, because Chris, same things you're saying with other managers, other boards showing they had the trust. Chris, he was given the license to do what he wanted. You don't want to be here? Let me know. I'll try and convince you, and if not, and you still want to leave, you're free to go. I don't want anyone here that's not committed. That's fine. I don't want to hold you back. Barnes, Yuri, didn't even fucking bother sitting him down, thank God, to be honest with you, because he's frustrating Villa fans. He's not changed. That's a Villa problem now. But Madison Barnes were happy to stay, but realistically, they wanted to be in the Premier League, and they obviously felt they deserved to be in the Premier League, Chris. All right, off you go. Bang. Who wants them? Okay, how much? Well, we want this much. Okay, deal. Bang. Done. Okay, I want this player in. Okay, getting him in. Okay, I want this player. Okay, got him. Bang. You know what I mean? Bang, bang. Whether we agreed with some of them, not. No, 75 goalkeepers and he signed another one. Worked out perfectly fine for me. Promoted a youngster ahead of the two we got in that were the Brendan Brigade. Happy for that, the way they've both played for us during the season, for the majority part of it. You know, so he's obviously someone that the board have trusted. And I think that's what we need to do as fans, because I think we've seen glimpses of it, Chris, haven't we? Or he's done something different, or he's put on a different style of player in a certain position. So even though the pattern or the shape's not really changed, the style of build-up's changed, because all of a sudden we've taken Vardy off and put Iheanacho on. So we've got an extra man in the midfield. You know, the midfielders can overlap because he comes short, or the opposite way around, Chris. So I think he has an idea to use a plan B. It's just when he registers it and sees it, he'll use it. Because the day, you could say, was completely different from the Bristol game in terms of just stepping the tempo up. Chris, we have the quality of players that when it works, we do what we did today to oppositions. Yeah. We play like that. It's just when it's not, Chris, when the parts aren't quite turning in the same direction or not moving so smoothly, that we get results like we did against Bristol.
Do you think, and oh my God, oh, Leeds have just hit the post.
Thank God for that. You scared the bejeebus out of me. Because I can't watch it. I've got it on BBC and it just says 1-1 and you said that and I just went bing.
Yeah, I know. I've got them both. I'll tell you, at the moment, they were saying earlier there was only looking like one team that was going to win it, which was Hull. But now I've got to say Leeds are knocking
sorry,
on the
Chris,
door.
Who was that?
That was Leeds.
Leeds, you
they
know
were up in the box again. They've taken Bamford off, by the way. But you preempted my next question, which was, does Enzo have a plan B or C?
I think he does. We've seen it. It's not what people would expect a plan B to be. A plan B would be no, they're going to change formation. They're going to go two up front, or I'm going to give it as an example. So that we'd completely change shape. We'd go to like a flat four in midfield, maybe change the system, go 4-4-2, which is what Norwich do. What we do, and sometimes it backfires, because sometimes with Enzo, his substitutions seem reactive because they happen at certain points. And sometimes he does make reactive substitutions, which is, again, naivety, it's an experience. Some managers take that second to absorb it, because sometimes we're making subs after goals have been conceded or scored, when really we want to let it play out for a minute or two and let the players on the pitch respond. Yeah. But he does make them little tweaks. We've seen it in games, Chris, where we're not so sideways. We're a little bit more direct. We're not asking Fatawu and Mavididi to stick to left and right. They're coming inside to support. We're going from not seeing Kieran Dewsbury-Horn and Winks make an overlap and run and dare to go in opposition half to the next game, Chris. They're daring to go into the edge of the box and trying to score. I mean, they had a couple of half chances each today, which they didn't even get a half chance against Bristol City.
No, it is
a little bit night and day, but it's not as drastic as other teams that maybe have a second tactic or a second shape they go to.
Yeah, and we can argue about the man of the match. I think we did when it was announced by Alan, who does it for us, and he goes to all the matches. He's there. We only see what's being shown on the screen. He sees what's going on off the field. So agree or not, you know, he has the final say. But Wout Faes, but look, for the performance. And I think that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? We could have still been playing that game now. We wouldn't have scored.
No, that's the annoying thing about it. And again, you don't like to get like that as a fan, but when you see the limited chances you get go begging and their keeper's pulling saves out of his rear end and you're getting sucker punched by the only goal of the game, it's the acceptance of fans, isn't it? We know this game's inside and out, and even though it still likes to throw a surprise on us, we are just like, oh, here we go, this just isn't our day. And at the end of the day, if we're being realistic, at a push, would we have warranted getting a point had Jamie Vardy took one of his chances? I think so, Chris. I think so, because we were on top for a period of majority of that second half. But ultimately, if you said to me only one team deserves to win, who you're picking, and I have to be fair, it was Bristol, because they created the better of the chances in the first and second half.
Now, like I said at the start, you know, if you've supported Leicester long enough, you'll know that we don't beat who we're expected to, and then we go out and beat who we expect to lose to. And that you have seen in this bank holiday weekend, you have seen Leicester City's history in a nutshell, I think, with these two games. Because bring on Norwich, they rolled up at the KP, second in the form table, looking to cement their place in the top six and a playoff position. Went 1-0 up, and I thought, here we go. They're going to really, because that was against the run of play, in fairness, but then it always seems to be when Leicester go 1-0 down. Nothing happened. And it wasn't probably like watching Brazil, but, you know, it certainly wasn't a scoring a four performance there, was it?
No, it wasn't. Again, two games, two completely different performances, two completely different outcomes. We played Norwich, unbeaten in the last three games, in form, holding on to that playoff zone. They'd have been buzzing with how they did on Friday and Hull dropping points. Right, they've got away with it today because Cardiff did them a favour. But you would have thought, if you'd have said to me, Brad, you're going to win one, lose one, I'd have gone, for fuck's sake, first of all. But I said, okay, so we're losing to Norwich at home, but we're beating Bristol City. And the contrast, Chris, it's phenomenal, the contrast between the two games. Because you say about a plan B, Chris, I say slight tweaking. Leicester really did control that game. What have you just seen, Chris? Stop doing that to me.
Sorry. Leeds are claiming a penalty, but it was absolutely brilliant defending by Hull, and the referee got it spot on. The Hull player got the ball first, and it's a corner. Sorry, but I was looking at that, and I'm thinking, Leeds players were all around the referee. But
you threw me off. I'm very nervous. But yeah, and at the end of the day, Chris, look, we were just quicker. Everything. Was right about what Leicester did today. And even when they went a goal down, Chris, it would have been easy for the crowd. And I have to give a little bit of credit, because despite the moaning myrtles that have been going on in his last few weeks, rightly or wrongly, depending on how they came about it, Chris, we went 1-0 down, Chris, completely against the run of play. Literally the only part of dominance that Norwich had was that attack the whole game. And that's not exaggerating. That's not bleating today. They were probably one of the worst teams, and the first team for a while, Chris, that came to the King Power and didn't read the instructions left by others, because they'd set up perfectly for Leicester. Sit back, try and frustrate us. And teams this season that have done that to us have been ripped apart. I said it on many a preview show when I've had to step in for Craig or talking to away supporters, opposition fans. And I said, if you sit back at us, you yeah, you might frustrate us, and it might take us 60 minutes or 70 minutes to break us down, but we'll break you down. We're relentless with it because you're giving us the freedom of the park to pass it around you, and that's something we do probably the best in the division, I would say. I know we're not top of the league. I'm not saying we're the best in the league because you can't be until you're top, but we're the best in the division at absolutely relentlessly going at a team who sit behind the ball. It's actually more when you get in our face that we get a little bit panicky, and that did happen today. But unlike Friday's game, Chris, everything was coming up Millhouse. The bobble deflections, if we weren't getting the handball, we got the goal. You know, if the ball got lost, someone was there to retrieve it. Someone's making a committed tackle. And that was the big one, Chris. The commitment from the players. They weren't letting a loose ball go. They weren't dropping their heads. They weren't throwing their arms in the air when someone dispossessed them unfairly. They got up, they got back, they put a tackle in. And sometimes they won the ball fairly and put less on the front foot. So the fact that they got in at halftime, my level, as I said, was the biggest turning point of that game. Because once we got level, Chris, unlike against Bristol, because we didn't score in that game, but unlike against Bristol also, I felt we could win it.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but I felt like it was pivotal. The second goal was probably more pivotal because it was our biggest dominant control of the game in terms of the forward play. You know, we had a lot of mini chances up leading up into that goal, so it seemed more inevitable that it was going to happen. Mm. But I really did feel that we was going to turn the screw and get the 3 points today. You know, we said we'd take the win and not have the performance, but we got both today, which was probably a double. Leeds have scored, haven't they?
No, Leeds have got a penalty.
Oh well, look. Then they, Chris. I don't know why you're bothering getting there to get you down. At the end of the day, if they score and win, then they've done their job. At the end of the day, we're in this situation, Chris. So it is what it is. I'm not going to.
It was a penalty as well. It was a clear penalty. The referee got that right again. Hi, Anthony. By the way, well,
looks like Leeds are going to snag a last minute one. A goalkeeper might save, but if he doesn't, Chris. At the end of the day, we've already shown before these games kicked off today. That as long as Leicester do their job against Birmingham and then Millwall and Southampton and Plymouth and you know, and whoever else is left after that, Chris, that's all we can do. And at the end of the day,
two Leeds players here arguing about who's taking the penalty.
Oh, well, that's never good. At the end of the day, Chris, these have got to do the same, because if they're struggling in the games that they're playing today, that, you know, one bad result isn't going to decide this. We've seen that with the Bristol result. It hasn't decided anything, you know.
The Leeds captain is having separated them.
Yeah. You know, for what? 4.5 hours? Leicester were top. They're going to go back to third. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Chris, they're still going to play some dodgy oppositions. They're still going to have tough games, just as we are. All we can do is hope. So Hull and Southampton weren't able to do us a favour.
Yeah, we shouldn't be relying on them, should we?
Yeah, and exactly. So, okay, Sodom, Leeds got a lucky late winner. Well done, Leeds. They've gone back top for a bit. Yeah. So come again Saturday, we'll do it again.
Just to go back to what you were saying, 47% of the action was in the Norwich third.
That we completely controlled it.
13% was in our third.
Yeah, we completely controlled that game from start to finish. I mean, there wasn't many notes. In fact, my first note on Norwich, ironically, after the substitute, because they had an injury early on in the game, was 13 minutes. They switched off. Leicester switched off and Mads made an easy save. Very comfortable. It was hit straight at him. And then the goal they scored from their first of two corners, they managed the entire game, Chris. We were in complete control. A lot of times in my notes, I'm saying great pressing, chance Leicester, penalty appeal. There was a lot of them today, whether one of them two should have. But yeah, chance looking good on the ball, Leicester looking good. There wasn't many times I was stood here going, Norwich are dominating the ball. We completely controlled him. It was a very controlled Leicester 3 points. But and it look, it's proved vital. it's proved vital, Chris, because Leeds and Ipswich have done their jobs, and seemingly so. There are still a few minutes to go in the Leeds game, but they have done their job. So it's a good, you know, this is what I mean, Chris. We have to just keep winning now. So Birmingham, we go again on a Saturday. I mean, kind of makes you go typical now because the Bristol game, you know, we'd have them extra points on the board.
Well, the 7 minutes added on, though, in fairness. So just looking at it, I mean, all right, you know, we had 61% possession. We had all the possession against Bristol. But 18 shots this week, 6 on target.
Yeah, and again, you know, we said about Bristol, we don't want to take anything away from their performance. They were a good side, and out of the two of us, the only ones that deserve to really win the game. It was stark contrast. Leicester were afforded the ball. They looked hungrier. They looked energised. They looked up for it. It's like something had finally ticked. It's like that defeat to Bristol suddenly awoke them, the fights inside them. And they realised they can't put in performances like that and get away with it. They need to be on top of their game and playing as best they can. So for me, it was a game where I didn't too much care for the performance because I just wanted the 3 points. But to get both, Chris, was so satisfying. That is a game, you know, Bristol City, you know, we did to Norwich today what Bristol City did to us, which was completely limit Norwich attack-wise. And we flooded them with our own attack, and it paid dividends, Chris. You've got to create chances to have any sort of hope of getting a win in any game, no matter where you are in the league.
It's chalk and cheese, isn't it, those two games, really? And that's summed up by, you know, I mean, and we couldn't pick out. I mean, we had, how many of us here was there?
Well, I had three written down.
Where my notes are. Yeah, I had three, didn't we? And we actually had, who did I went for Fatuu in the end.
I think KDH got...
We had three different Man of the Matches. You and me, Fatuu. Luke and Alan, as you can see there, KDH, although he was on my list as well. Doyle from Kate. And we couldn't pick a Man of the Match last week because they were all so awful. But this week it was because we couldn't, you know, pick a right one out of a barrel of ripe apples. And the performance got an 8.
Yeah. I mean...
You went 9.
I give it a 9. I mean, there was so... Again, the biggest chalk and cheese you're ever going to get in two comparison games. One where we didn't want to give a Man of the Match and really didn't think they warranted a decent rating. And another one, Chris, where 8, 9s were being thrown around. There were phases. It was Mavididi's Man of the Match. KDH was a Man of the Match. Harry Winks was Man of the Match. They were all Man of the Match performances to a degree. The majority of them were anyway, Chris, because of what they offered. And they, you know, you can see, I can't remember who it was on the watch on, Chris. I think it was Jeff said, you know, it's a good performance when there's so many diverse Man of the Matches.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's good. They're the headaches you want as a manager. Mm. You know, you want to be able to sit there as a manager and go, God, not one of you do I need to single out. You all deserve a team praise because you all played so well. Wrong. If someone had done a one-man show, scored a hat-trick and Bury made every tackle go in and been the only one trying, they'd have got all the poor lits, but we would have still won the game. But it was a performance that, okay, I can't say it wasn't necessary because it was necessary in a long way, the performance. Because even the game that we won a few weeks ago, Chris, and in the draw against Hull, they weren't convincing, were it? It was more of a case of, okay, we got the nitty-gritty win, but we got it, and then, okay, we nicked a draw against Hull, but you never watched that performance and went, either of them games, and went, yeah, we were fairly solid. You know, Hull, I didn't see us getting a second goal from it, but we did.
When I was doing the prep for the watch-along, I literally could not remember us beating Sunderland.
Yeah, it was one of them games. I think both games against Sunderland were a bit forgettable. I think we had one decent chance, took it, and they're both early goals, weren't they? It was JJ in 2 minutes against Sunderland at the King Power, and it was about 17, 18 minutes into it against them at their place. And then that was pretty much the game.
Hang on, we've won one in the last 5. Who was that? I literally could not even remember playing them, you know, and it was only the 5th of March as well.
Yeah, we did a double over Sunderland, and it's probably the most forgettable double we'll do all season, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. It says a lot about it.
Yeah. Well, Jamie Vardy, after 13 minutes, I don't even remember his goal or anything. You know,
11 minutes difference between JJ's goal against him at the King Power, where he scored after 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's
funny how your feelings change about football. We were so down 4 days ago. Now we're back up. Yes, all right, so we've dropped to third again. But, you know, with performances like that, it's only going to be good running, isn't it? But if we perform how we did against Bristol, then it's playoffs, here we come.
Yeah, and that's just it, Chris. The one thing Leicester need to do is kind of go back to how they were at the start of the season and do something probably a little bit uncharacteristic in this running, and that's not be so Leicester-y. You know, we've got some big opportunities coming up. We've got a nice home game at Birmingham. And I mean nice because it's at home. I think after that win, you want to be back at the King Power again. You want that place rocking again, breathing the confidence. And you want to get 2 wins on the bounce, because that will really get them believing and going again. Because, Chris, I'm jumping the gun here. I'm going to say it. Look, we know our situation, Chris, is right. We have 7 games. Left. Other teams have 6. If Leicester win 7 out of 7, they win the championship. Don't matter what Ipswich do, don't matter what Leeds do. Okay, so no, because Leeds won't even be level with us, would they? Because they both played a game more now, haven't they? Ipswich and
yeah.
So Leicester would go top of the division and win it, Chris. And we know where our true position would lie if we can make sure we win our game in hand. And I believe, Chris, it's Birmingham at home, Millwall away, and then Southampton. We've got that rearranged fixture with Southampton, haven't we, at home?
I can tell you, I have the information
here. Go on then, Chris. Tell me that.
Birmingham are at home, on Saturday. Then Millwall away on the Tuesday. And then it's Plymouth away...
Plymouth are in there
on the Friday, and then so we play Tuesday and then we play Friday. Thanks, EFL and Sky.
Yeah, thanks for that one.
And then we've got Saturday the 20th, West Brom, Tuesday the 23rd, Southampton, Saturday the 27th, Preston, and then round it all off against the Blackburn Rovers side, who just look to be hitting form by winning 5-1 today.
Well, one game doesn't change their season, does it really? They've had a positive. But look, Chris, you've just said, right, you've just gone through the fixture. So we've got 4 games before we play our game in hand. That's, for me, if you want to break it down into sections, Chris, we've got 4 big games to try and psychologically get ourselves in front. And yes,
remember that Ipswich are going to lose one of their games.
They will when the semi-finals get played.
Oh, granted. 3-1, it's all over.
Oh, fuck you, Leeds. At least if you're going to win 2-1. I had the fucking 3 points gone on the predictions league again, you tight-fisted Yorkshire cunt.
The thoughts of Brad are not necessarily the thoughts of the channel. What did I get? I can't even watch.
Went for a 2-2.
Oh, I do. Well, I've got no points.
Well, I've got an extra point on that, which I think's taken me to 13 now. So I didn't fall too far behind you in the overall... assumptions, I don't think. I think if you got 16,
what is it with Leeds and Ipswich? 97 fucking minutes. Well, having said that, Leeds were ahead anyway, weren't they?
Yeah, but it's one of them.
It would have been a lot worse had we lost today. Obviously, we'd have been in a hell of a lot worse situation.
Well, again, and that makes it even more pivotal. That makes it even more pleasing, because imagine if we were sat here 2 defeats and now all of a sudden fate was out of our hands. This is what I mean, Chris. I would say Leicester season now, you could break it down into 3 sections. You've got Birmingham, Millwall, Plymouth and West Brom. You've got them ahead of that game. And okay, let's say Ipswich played, we'll get level on games before we play that game. But by the time the Southampton game rolls around, Chris, we should be level with them, or they would have played their catch-up game the day before or day after us. Whatever, let's just assume that, save the headache of maths, that when we play that's the only catch-up game left. If Leicester can find a way, Chris, and yes, it means someone's got to drop points. I don't care who, as long as it's Ipswich or Leeds, because Southampton are cooked. Your race is done, Southampton. You needed to, the pile looks too much for you. I saw it coming. I got that. I'm 100% sure near enough I've got that right, because Ipswich was vital today. They needed to draw or beat Ipswich and they didn't do it. But if Leicester can get to a position, Chris, where they play Southampton, they've gone on a nice little run of five games in a row, because they're including the Norwich game. So they win them four, and they're 1 point, 2 points ahead before they play that game in hand. That means whilst a draw wouldn't be ideal, it would still be a bonus to Leicester. You know what I mean? It someone becomes a double bonus game, like the points were getting away with double, because Leicester win, they open up a bigger gap. Leicester get a point, they go a game's, a goal difference is going to count as a point, Chris. Yeah. So even if we went 3 points clear, that would be a goal difference overtaken, could be pivotal to league positions as well. We've got a big one over Ipswich, which helps us out a lot. That's like an extra point on Ipswich. And Leeds, it's closer. They're ahead of us. But you know what I mean, Chris? And that's just Leicester's first task, is to get to some form of advantage if they are allowed to in the next four games.
Last question before we round it up. Anything other than the top two finish is going to be a capitulation, isn't it, really?
I think it's going to be more heartache and frustration than it's a capitulation or a disappointment, because I honestly have been so impressed with what the good things off the field that Maresca, and well, I've been impressed with some of the things, with most of what he's got on the pitch right for the majority of the season, but off the pitch, what he's done, the atmosphere he's created, the players he's managed to keep around, whether that was on a one season promise or not, we'll see. But if you said to a Leicester fan, come April, May time, you're going to be fighting for the top two. You're going to be at least in the top three, very well situated in the top three, because we are now, with Southampton's result, well in that top three spot. I think you would have you'd have snapped someone's arm off for it, wouldn't you, Chris? Realistically, in August. So more disappointment and frustration if we don't get the top two. But I wouldn't sit here and say we have failed to do what we were meant to achieve, because you've got to be respectful to everybody in this division. Anybody can beat everybody. We've seen it throughout the season, even to Leeds and Ipswich and Southampton, who have lost to teams that we've lost to. And if you kind of spread it out throughout the season, balances out, it probably looks a bit better and we don't feel as bad. I think you said that yesterday, if them losses had come more spread out. But yeah, I would still, on the best of form, Chris, I would still fancy Leicester to get promoted in the top two spots. I'd still see it's achievable because, yeah, all right, Leeds grabbed a late goal to make it look better than it was. But they've both shown that, all three teams have shown that the nerves are there. And I think it's just a case of who's going to blink first. Because if someone blinks now, it could be hard to get that back.
Yes. And I just want to say to any Leeds fans that are watching, and I did this earlier, but I just want to reiterate it now that all the games have been played today. The best team in the Championship at the moment are Ipswich, because they are top. And despite what the Leeds fan that was saying, come in, well, we've won this, and he got that wrong anyway, didn't he? You corrected him. But they are. And fair play to Ipswich, fair play. Going to be an interesting 7 weeks. Only Leicester could do it this way.
Yeah, this is typical.
17 points ahead, we'd be guaranteed promotion by now, wouldn't we? I think
pretty much. A case of we'd all be waiting for the ink to dry, wouldn't we? On the return slip.
We'll be back on Friday at 7 with the prediction show with your new partner, Dave.
Yes, we'll be.
Everybody about your channel as well.
Yeah, it's LTID TV2. It is the home of the WSL Leicester City women's team. Watch-alongs as and when available, as long as they don't clash with the men's game, and if they're available on the FA player, and I can do them. Any breaking news? I was going to do a show on the whole Willie Kirk fiasco, but I don't think it's warranted talking about. It was something I was going to do, but then time kind of got away from me, and I really thought about it. It's not a topic I really want to talk about, really. I think if the alleges, which are obviously true because he's been sacked, I don't really want to discuss him and give him the time of day. This is
I don't think he's actually broken any law.
No, but it's just it's not right though, Chris. I know, but it just damages the women's game, unfortunately. Yeah, whether you like it, whether you think it should or not, it's just damaging to the game because it's just like, oh, male, why don't we have female managers in here? Or they want to get the leg over. And it's just the sort of sexism you don't need in football. It shouldn't, like racism, it's not needed in football. It doesn't have a place. And I just thought it's going to cause more harm than good because some top.
Yeah, no, you're quite right.
You know what I mean? LTL TV for the LCFC women's, the watch along and the LTL TV quiz, the football, the LCFC footballing pyramid. Go and check it out if you haven't already. The quiz is great. Craig's already guinea picked it for me. See if you can beat the Leicester City football pyramid over on there. And if you can, message me on Twitter at Full Time Focus or X, whatever you want to call it. If you think you're good enough to climb the LCFC football pyramid, because I'm going to do an episode with Dave. Hopefully next week. I need to discuss some dates and times with yourself and with him so we're not clashing on shows. But we will have that up and running. So, yeah, LTL TV, do go ahead over there and hit the like and subscribe button on that, please. We gained one more today, Chris. So thank you for your shout on the watch along.
I think that was actually a Bournemouth fan that you got today.
Oh, did I get the vet?
No, you got his co-host, Matthew. No. You got his friend Matthew Harrison, I believe he's called.
Oh, thank you to the non-veterinary Bournemouth fan.
And we will be back on Thursday on here with the preview show, and hopefully we're going to get a Birmingham City fan. I'm just waiting for the Tilton End to get back to me. We'll be doing that Thursday at 7. But that's it. Bank holiday over. We're back to whatever we normally do tomorrow morning. Thanks to everybody that has been watching and joining in. Do appreciate it. Thanks to Brad, as always. And thanks to everybody that's been listening to us on podcast. Thank you for lending us your ears. But for now, it's good night from me.
It's good night from him.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.